Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And you have tuned in to Cowboy Church on RFD TV. Welcome.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. And I want to ask Susie a question. It's one of the great questions. You know the problem with polygamy and bigamy. You know what the penalty for that is?
Having too many voices in your household?
Well, you're close.
I mean, opinions?
Close.
Too many chores to do?
Too many mother-in-laws.
There you go.
So, boy.
I don't know if we ought to say that or not, Russ. We'll probably get bad mail.
Why is that?
Well, I'm a mother-in-law. I might have to scold you on that one.
But if you're
just joking.
But
okay,
if it's one out of two of them, you'll at least have one bad one, right? I don't know how that works, really. Maybe I shouldn't have started with it. But we're gonna be studying today. We're gonna do the second half of Abraham and Isaac and their little dilemma with this guy named Abimelech.
Oh, yeah.
It happened to the exact same guy in chapter 21 of Genesis and chapter 26. It happened the same. Abimelech is basically the victim of looking at an attractive gal and thinking, I could marry her.
Yeah.
And she's already married.
Yeah.
Twice.
Right. He did that twice to do two different couples.
To a father and son.
Yes.
And you know the
who's at risk? Who's the bad guys here, though?
Yeah.
Who's the bad guy? Him?
No.
He innocently thought
that
the girls were available.
And he was a king of the Philistines,
yes.
And he thought, you know, she's a good girl, and so and she was. But do you know that when he was taken with Sarah, you know how old she was?
90.
She was over 90 years old, and she was still a hot mama.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Ain't that something? She had her own issues, but we won't get into that today.
They could have named her Anna.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I told Anna the other day. I said, we could have more family, you know, because she's not interested in that.
No, she's not. Okay. Adoption only.
Probably shouldn't go there.
Sit back and relax. You know this is going to be a good one, okay? You always get so much out of the music and out of Russ's sermon, so settle in and listen up. Welcome to Cowboy Church. One of my favorites, in the garden. My grandma Smith was quite the gardener. She had this big old peach orchard. She had a garden in the back. She had a garden down in the bottom. She canned not only in quarts and pints, but in half gallons. They always had the food. And if anybody had need of a meal, there was always a place at the table for anyone that was hungry. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice that I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Speaks and the sound of his voice, oh, it it's so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he brings to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. As we tarry there, none other has ever known.
We wanted to sing a bunch of Christian songs, so we learned some Christian songs and put them in our repertoire, and this was one of the ones we sang when we were young.
I am thinking today of that beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down, when through wonderful grace by my Savior I'll stand, should there be any stars in my crown, will there be any stars?
There's an art to listening, and when people know how to listen, when people have great confidence and they really listen and they hear the details, they hear the heart, they actually hear the story behind the details, and they begin to understand there's a rapport that really happens. We have a group of people at our church that are, it's called Stephen Ministries. We have a group of people at our church it's called Stephen Ministries. And in their training, they trained them how to listen. Because any kind of recovery program or grieving time or even discipleship type of thing, it's really important that we learn how to listen. We can't prescribe help. A doctor can't help you unless he listens to what you say and listens to where you're hurting and knows what direction to go on. You know, it takes a little while to figure all that out, but somebody who's really good at listening, it shortens the communications up to where the communications are way more efficient. So it said Abraham listened to God, and because he listened to God and did all of these four things, that God began to make him the father of many nations. It's the same chapter. I mean, same story. It's a different chapter. Then Isaac prospered 100 times more than what the Philistines did. So the things that we notice, I just want to look through here. There's so many similarities in this story. I'll tell you some real quick. Five of them that are immediately in it, and it's simple. It was the exact same king. Can you imagine the same king thinking several years later, well, I've heard this before. Same king, it was the same problem that he was afraid. And then the Philistines ran him off. That's another same problem. So there's same problems. There's a couple of problems. They were the exact same wells. They're the exact same outcome. They ran them off until they found some place they could land. And then, here's the last part. Abimelech came to Abraham and came to Isaac, and they had the exact same covenant between them. Because Abimelech knew that these were men of God, even though they didn't act like men of God at the time. What he did is actually a pretty amazing thing. What he did was he invited the wisdom of God. He invited the presence of God into his life and into his situation. And in doing that, he allowed God to bring blessings to him. And I think there's the old saying that is, if we don't study history, we're due to repeat it again. And that's what happened here. This is an example of that. So it's important to us as Christians. It's important to us as Americans. It's important to us as people of God that we study history. And the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So here it is in 14. The Philistines were envious. And what we notice is that the wells, they're the same wells, and they leave. They had the same outcome and the same covenant. But who is the big problem? Who is the big problem? If there's a problem going on, the big problem is always the same. The big problem is the enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your life. And so he will give you false fears to make you worry about or put your family in jeopardy. He'll give you false scenarios. He'll set up things that will seem to be right that are absolutely not right. And he'll want us to be living and making decisions according to our fears, according to the world's outcome and the world's look at things. And when we do that, then we have a chance of missing what God has planned. This facility we have here, we have a big arena at this church. And when I was pastoring it, one year we had 48 events, three-day events in a year's time. So 48 weekends in 12 months. That means we had four major three-day events every single month for an entire year. And at the end of that year, the end of the year after those 4 years, we were $100,000 in the hole on the events. But this facility looks like it's a kind of facility that needs events, should have events. But we were looking at that, and me and our church council, got to looking at it and talking over it financially and stuff, and praying and asking God for wisdom. We decided, you know, let's let this rest for a while. We can go less than 100,000 in the hole if we don't do anything. So we did that. And then what we began to do is we began to involve the community. We began to involve some of the people that, like, we'd have little event, not events, but things that would encourage the community. Like the high school rodeo team began to practice here one night a week. And then we had a little local rope, and we had a guy who wants to put on a little barrel race, and so the people at barrel race. So we just started doing a couple of the little local things. And what we discovered was in the next year, our church doubled in size. And the reason is, we discovered later, is that what it looks like in human terms is not what it looks like in God's eyes. And what God sees and what God wants to happen, when we do it God's way, it works so much better. And within a year and a half, our finances had so turned around, and we were able to refinance. And just, I can't even tell you all the miraculous things that began to happen. We had half of the minerals here, the minerals kicked up. We refinanced the church, and there were times the facility on our insurance, they insured our facility for $16 million for a rebuild, and we're making payments of like $1,500 a month. And it's just miraculous that we could even do things like that. And we got ahead financially. We got ahead. The church started to grow. We became a church that, oh, by the way, has an event center. Not an event center that, oh, by the way, they have church on Sundays there too. We changed it to where it was right because we learned that you don't do things the way the world says to do things. You become obedient to God, and when you become obedient to God, God begins to work out the details. And when God works out the details, you don't have to fear whether the king is going to take your beautiful wife or whether she's going to run off with some stranger. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen on your job. You just do your job. You do it as before God. You do it as unto God. You take your life and your family, and you quit worrying about them. You begin praying for them. You begin interceding for them, and you become burdened without fear. You become burdened because that's a burden that God puts there so you can pray for them. You can be concerned about them. You can hold them up in prayer. And when we do that, when we begin to seek God the way we're supposed to, and we begin to study the Word of God and history on how God works and how things work, we don't have to repeat history just for God to teach us a new lesson. We can learn fresh lessons as we go, and as we learn the fresh lessons, God is able to do what God is supposed to do. I'm excited about what God wants to do in your life. So here's a couple of questions. Is there a problem? This is a great question. Is there a problem? Do you have a problem in your life? Are you facing a problem or a great difficulty? Are you looking at a situation you don't have an answer for? Is it financial? Is it relational? Is it family related? Or is it circumstances? Or you're looking at something's gone wrong with the house and you can't figure out how to fix it. You can't, I mean, it just seems like there's no end. I'm going to tell you that God is really good. He's really, really good at taking your problems and helping you fix them. He's amazing at it. So what's the problem? Well, it doesn't matter. God does it. There's nothing too difficult for God. So, if we will take these problems and realize that God knows how to fix them, it sure helps. The second thing is, of course, the thing that I said often here. What's the difference between a covenant and a contract? A contract, people are looking for a loophole, but a covenant before God, a covenant before God is both parties trying to do the right thing to make the thing work. So these are not scriptures, but they're really good sayings. If we don't study history, we'll make the same mistakes. Definition of crazy. Keep doing the same thing while expecting a different outcome. That will drive you crazy. Then my dad always had a little, we lived in Utah for a while. So in Utah, there's a history of polygamy and bigamy. Bigamy's two wives. And my dad used to tell those guys, say, hey, you know the problem with polygamy? You know the problem with bigamy? There's a real problem with it. And they would always say, okay, what? He goes, two mother-in-laws. But you know, I probably shouldn't have said that. But the thing is that when you have problems with your family, you have problems with your wife, you have problems with your kids, you have problems with your church, you have problems with your community, you have problems. The biggest problem that you need to understand is that the problem is not all of them. Most of the time, it's that guy look in the mirror. The problem is me. If the problem is that God's trying to do a work in me, and I need to be receptive enough before God that I can look in the mirror and say, you know what? I could be the problem here. And I want to make sure that I'm not the problem. God, please take care of this. Forgive me. Forgive my sins. Help me to walk the way I'm supposed to walk, because I know that you have a plan for me. And I want to seek that plan. I want to be a part of that plan. If we can do that, things are going to get better. I promise you. So just to close this, I want to pray. And I want to pray for you. You know, not every service is about somebody getting saved. If you need to commit your life to Christ, man, pray that prayer. Ask him to come into your life. Just make it simple. Say, come into my life. I'm a sinner. God, I want to be right with you. Forgive me today. Go ahead and do that. That's good. But today, I feel it's like people, this message is for people who have found themselves in the same old place that they've been before. They've been down the same old road before. They've been in the same old beer joint. They've been in the same situation. They just keep finding themselves going back to the same sin. They keep wallowing in the same pig pen. And if you feel like you're that, the message today is for you. And God really does have a good plan for your life. He wants to help you with that. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you can escape that trap and begin to live and be the person God wants you to be. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, today, you see people that are just repeating history. They're finding themselves in the same old mess that they were before. Now, Lord, you know that people like that have the same problem. Lord, I pray that the problem that they have, I pray, God, that you would touch them, minister to them, guide their steps, guide their heart. Help them, Lord Jesus, to come in contact with you, and that you would be a blessing, and they would begin to find relief and begin to live the life you've called them to be, and they'd be prosperous. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. We'll see you again next week.